This week on Public Address Science, why the Pulse Detonation Engine might help to address New Zealand's air mile issues. For some people, the song of a blackbird is the most beautiful sound in the world. Other people's favourite sound might be Beethoven or Jimi Hendrix. But for me, this is one of the most fantastic noises that I've ever heard. It's the sound of a pulse jet engine. And if you lived in London from 1944 to 1945, you might not be quite so enthusiastic about hearing it. Pulse jets powered the 10,000 Nazi V1 missiles that rained down upon England during the Second World War. I've got the engineering drawings of the V1 pulse jet engine sitting in front of me. It's pretty much the simplest machine imaginable. It's literally just an empty tube with one end blocked off by a bank of one-way reed valves. It works just like a two-stroke lawnmower motor, but without the piston. Air is drawn in through the reed valves, fuel is injected, and then the fuel is exploded. But rather than the explosions pushing on a piston, it pushes hot gas out the back of the engine at high speed, thus producing thrust. It couldn't be simpler or cheaper to make, and it's long been the dream of aircraft engine manufacturers to use low-cost pulse jets on commercial aeroplanes. So why don't they? The answer is efficiency. Basically, a pulse jet engine doesn't have any. The Nazi V1 missile used nearly 600 litres of fuel just to travel a few dozen kilometres across the English Channel. A pulse jet engine is inefficient because the fuel is combusted in a subsonic explosion. This means that the pulse jet operates with a very low compression ratio. An efficient diesel car engine might operate with a compression ratio of 20 to 1, whereas the pistonless pulse jet engine can only achieve compression ratios of around 2 to 1. But what if the explosion were like this? My ears are slightly ringing. That's the sort of supersonic detonation combustion that you can achieve if you get just the right conditions. In this type of detonation explosion, the compression ratio can reach 100 to 1. That's much higher than a normal jet engine. A pulse jet with this sort of compression ratio is called a pulse detonation engine. And if such an engine can be successfully developed, then it will be a breakthrough in aircraft efficiency and cost. And that has important implications for New Zealand. It would allow the air transportation of goods and tourists to and from New Zealand at much lower cost and using much less carbon-producing fuel. Dr. John Hoke works for the United States Air Force Research Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio. He's the head researcher on their Pulse Detonation Engine Development Program. His research team have been testing their newly designed Pulse Detonation Engine on a Rutan Long EZ aircraft. I asked Dr. Hoke how things have been going.
Well, we're doing basic and applied research here. We're able to detonate most practical fuels. We have done high-speed taxi tests with that aircraft with a pulse detonation engine attached. We have not flown that aircraft yet with a pulse detonation engine. We have every intent to do that, but at this point, we're still doing research.
So you successfully managed to achieve detonation combustion in your engine, and therefore a much higher compression ratio than in a pulse jet. What sort of improvement in efficiency has this translated into?
Well, when you detonate a fuel-air mixture, you're going to get about 3 to 4 times improvement efficiency over what the pulse jets are getting. You also have much higher exhaust gas velocities, so where the pulse jet typically operated at Mach 0.6, 0.8, pulse detonation engine is thought to be able to run very efficiently at Mach 2 to 4.
Okay, Mach 2 to 4. In other words, between 2 and 4 times the speed of sound. That's a much faster speed than passenger aircraft operate at today. So would the pulse detonation engine actually be a suitable replacement for the ordinary turbofan jet engines on commercial aircraft?
Well, the turbofan is made for lower speed. You wouldn't put a pulse detonation engine on a commercial aircraft because typically they don't go Mach 2 to 4. However, when you look at these things, the pulse detonation engine is a constant volume process, and the efficiency of that is inherently higher than a constant pressure process.
Which is the combustion process you'd have in a normal jet aircraft engine.
Yes. And what's thought for commercial application would be to take this constant volume combustor and stick it in the middle of one of your turbofans. And then you're talking about potentially 5 to 27% increase in efficiency of fuel economy.
So by sticking a pulse detonation engine inside a normal turbofan jet engine to replace the combustor, you can get up to a 27% increase in fuel efficiency. In aircraft terms, that's absolutely huge. But what about the case where you actually want to operate a commercial airline at, say, two or three times the speed of sound, maybe as a replacement for Concorde? Would a straight pulse detonation engine, the sort you're working on now, have an application in this context?
Potentially, yes. The one thing people point out is the noise, and potentially high noise levels can have impact on structures and whatnot, but to our experience, the noise is not a whole lot different than an aircraft on afterburner. I've stood right next to the thing when it's running, and it's loud, but it's acceptable.
That's actually quite surprising. I've heard a pulse jet engine, and they are really loud, but you're saying a pulse detonation engine isn't actually that bad.
Well, you're definitely wearing hearing protection. The sound levels coming out of the back of the pulse detonation engine are very directional, so if you're standing down behind the engine, you're going to see some pretty loud noise levels. I think at the exit of the detonation engine, you're talking about 190 to 210 dB, and I believe your ears start to bleed about 160, but when you're traveling Mach 2, Mach 3, the sound's behind you. I think you'd have more serious issues with the aircraft sonic boom.
Okay. So talking about a pulse detonation engine in the context of a potential high-speed application like a Concorde replacement, it's so mechanically simple. Have you got any feel about how much that might reduce cost?
Yeah, our best guess is probably about 100 times cheaper. Could potentially be huge.
100 times cheaper really would be huge. So just coming back to something you mentioned earlier about running your pulse detonation engine on a variety of fuels, I was wondering, have you tried it on bioethanol or biodiesel?
We've almost detonated everything, I'd say. We've done ethanol, we've done gasoline, we've done propane, we've done ethylene. Hydrogen is one of my favorite fuels. We've done aviation gasoline. The jet fuels work fine. The one thing was biodiesel. We haven't done that, but I wouldn't foresee any big issues with that because I don't think the combustion properties differ too much from regular jet fuel.
So when do you see pulse detonation engines being commercialized and in what initial applications?
Theoretically, the pulse detonation cycle, constant volume combustion cycle, however you want to put it, I think has a lot of potential. As far as making it practical, we still have yet to see how that's going to all pan out. The thermodynamics says it should be more efficient than the constant pressure combustion, like the pulse jet or the gas turbine engine. So I'm very hopeful there. As far as where it would first be used, it'll probably be a pure pulse detonation engine, and it'll probably be used for a drone or a missile type of application where, you know, it's unmanned and you're looking for a cheap engine and you're looking for fast flight. Commercially, and this may take off really quickly, it depends on the engine companies and the research budgets, but if the hybrid turbine engine, where you have a constant volume combustor, if that starts to pan out, that's going to be a huge cost saver for the airlines, and that could go very, very quickly.
So pulse detonation engines offer the possibility of significantly reduced fuel consumption for normal subsonic commercial aircraft, and even the option of running on biofuel. But also perhaps they may usher in a new generation of lower cost and more fuel efficient supersonic aircraft, all of which is good news for a country as dependent on air transport as New Zealand.